I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You know, pick on immigrants or pick on, you know, Asian people or pick on this, but then pick on fat white guys.
But I guess the funny thing is, how do you define punching down? Because there's more Asian people than there are Caucasian people on the planet.
Caucasian.
There's a rat called Rattus. He's a leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough.
Darren, he's a dopey dog.
Lixie's a mother, that mixed up bunny.
Pharaohs,
that's the pharaohs for ya.
Pharaohs,
don't mess with the pharaohs. The pharaohs, they're gonna get you, that's the pharaohs.
Hello and welcome again to the Pharaohs Podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by
Swinny
and Mike.
This week's episode is episode 3 of season 2, A Change is as Good as a Holiday. So it opens up to snowing conditions, the ferals are stuck outside looking in fondly, I guess you could say, to Robbie and Leonard who are inside the warm house. I thought this was weird from the start because I don't think there's any major population in Australia that ever has regular snow.
Nope.
No.
Did you think this was weird, Swinny?
I didn't think it was weird because this show exists in its own vacuum of, like, in its own universe. So it can have the extremes of a heatwave episode or a snow episode. It doesn't bother me.
But this is 1995 Australia, right? What audience is it for? I mean, people are going to watch this and go, what? I've never seen snow in my life.
I guess they did export this to Britain. So if you're in Britain, you might have watched this show.
Okay.
Now, you know, pretty much all sort of, you know, major Western populations experience snow, apart from us, South Africa, I guess, out of the Western nations that I can think of. So, yeah, but I thought it was really weird. It was really weird. It just doesn't snow in Australia. Like, you have to go way out of your way, and it still doesn't snow very much in places. Certainly not with people around.
You have to go climb a mountain or something.
Yeah, you have to go, like, you know, 500 meters in the air up a mountain in a certain perfect conditions to get any snow at all. But, yeah, so I thought that was a bit strange. And then, yeah, so it opens up to Robbie saying, and for me, like, kind of like rubbing it in that she's going on holiday, given that it's, like, terrible conditions. And I guess, like, look, it's got to be winter, so you assume it's going to be July because it is Australia. And she's going to escape the snow conditions and go to the Sun Fun Resort.
The Sun Fun Resort.
So I thought, you know, obviously this Sun Fun Resort, it's a real place, correct? Of course, right?
No.
So, you know, yeah, of course it is. I discovered it.
Oh,
so
wow.
I searched for it.
Oh, what?
Tell
us
more.
It's of course a real place. So I don't know if you guys have just got that link. So, if you open it up, meanwhile, I think my dog, who's in the recording studio, is destroying something.
So, there's a Sun Fun Resort
I don't care about that.
In Nassau.
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's read a couple of the reviews. So, if you open up that page,
okay.
I'll read
the
third
review.
This
is like a reverse
review.
Credit segment. It's awesome.
Exactly. I'll read the third review, and I'll let you guys pick a review below the third review to pick and read.
Okay.
And we'll just read it quickly in a little bit. So, I'll read this first one by David H. from Massachusetts, titled For the Desperate. He describes the fun runs... What is the Fun Sun Resort as? Misconnection left me stuck in a cell. needed a nearby place to crash without spending $500, which was SunFun provided. Bring plenty of wet naps, because showering isn't likely. Don't ever spend on the wake-up call, and enjoy the crunch of the plastic mattresses covers. somewhat secure shelter. Good, unrelated, new restaurant on site, however. Two out of five stars. Now, I think that is quite accommodating.
Okay.
It's very accommodating.
Can I go next?
Yeah, okay. Yep. So, Swinny, you can read a review of the place that Robbie would have stayed at,
yes,
of course.
Okay, so I've got a one-star review by Travels with Pekingese, and it's titled Dangerous. There was clearly prostitutes going in and out of rooms or drug deals going on. The locks on most of the doors. What the hell? Doesn't make sense. You could see it. Oh, okay. They needed punctuation. The locks on most of the doors you could see had been busted in, broken into, and repaired several times. There was loud, violent fighting and screaming in the rooms next door. We actually feared for her life, her, as in the Pekingese, and didn't get a wink of sleep.
Wow.
Love it. All right, so now, Mike, you get to pick one of the reviews of the place that Robbie stayed, the SunFun Resort.
Swinny did take mine, and I must say, to me, that was a selling point, but whatever. The only other one I found was, I would definitely recommend this hotel, as it's a good clean place, and maids offer services daily. Oh, yeah. Definitely my kind of place.
This has three pages of reviews. Let's just do the whole podcast about this SunFun Resort.
I know. That could be... So, obviously, the Ferrells are going to run out of episodes. You know, this could be the next podcast that we pick. Just picking a random place and reading out the reviews.
It has 21 stars or 20 terrible reviews. And its highest rating is the fact that it's half-decent location, apparently.
Nothing about the place apart from where it's located.
It had two excellent reviews. What are these people saying? It's exactly what it looks like. They're always willing to work with you. I don't know.
What, the prostitutes or the Pekingese?
Yep. Very pleasant and helpful children. What?
All right. Weird. I don't even want to know about that.
Okay. So this is where Robbie stayed, the SunFun Resort. So... I don't know. I think later in the episode, when she comes back, she quite enjoyed it. So she probably contributed to one of the 5-star reviews.
I know. They must have had grooming services there as well.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Ah, little hints for the future. So we have Lenny Leonard. And now, did you guys see this? That this was the start. Like, so previously, he was called Lenny Leonard one time in that episode where Joe was dreaming of Lenny receiving the Nobel Prize, or 5 Nobel Prizes, I think, at the time. And I joked that I'm going to start calling him Lenny Leonard.
Yeah. Right?
Now, he responded as Lenny Leonard is in this episode. And then later in the episode, he called himself Lenny Leonard. So, is his actual name Lenny Leonard?
I didn't catch that. I swear I did not catch that.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, okay, I'm jumping right ahead. But when he talks on the phone, he goes, Lenny Leonard. He said, oh, this is Lenny Leonard. I'm like, what? Is that now his name?
That's
is
awesome.
He Mario Mario? He is Mario Mario.
that's God, almost a good as good of a name as Joe King. So
I think Lenny Leonard is better now. Like, I really like it. Okay, so Lenny, and by the way, Lenny is a bit unhinged, I would say, in this whole episode. From the start.
He's cracking. He's cracking.
Oh, he's definitely lost the plot now.
So, I don't know if you remember, Mike, what he described his life as.
No.
That he had no friends, no money. He was a failure as a research scientist. But otherwise, everything's great.
Exactly like my life.
Research scientist included. I wrote down, Lenny gots no friends.
Word. Nice.
See, that would be the title of the show. Again, if we had other titles than what the episode's titled.
Well,
that is good.
With that being
got snow friends.
With that being said, Robbie was a bit of a bitch in this opening sequence. Like,
well, she was. Yes, and you're alluding to that she said, "Think of me in the sun and surf and that will cheer you up."
Yeah, she
so sadistic.
She was having a go, like she was how to say, having a laugh at his expense. Like, she wasn't outright being horrible, but she wasn't being nice at all. So,
and I just thought then, I'm pretty sure that Lenny is going to be thinking of you in the sun and the surf in your bikini. I don't think you need to ask him to do that.
Well, that's why he's pissed off he doesn't get to go to the Sun Fun Resort.
Exactly. I mean, Mike, what do you think he'd be thinking about? That's a very dangerous question to ask.
It is.
Exactly
it
is. What I'd be thinking about. Hey, did you guys notice that? Was this the first time that they officially reveal that they're just flatmates and just a couple of friends?
Oh.
You notice that? He goes a comedian for a flatmate.
You're my friend, right?
He goes, haha, got a comedian for a flatmate. And then they made some mention about being friends. Not. Well, it was kind of somewhat established, but it wasn't officially established.
I've got a comedian for an F-buddy or something. What's he going to say?
No. It's just the flatmate part that I mean. It wasn't really clearly established until now. Beyond any doubt, not just flatmates, just a couple of friends.
Well, I think the fact that he says she's his flatmate doesn't mean it's not excluding anything. But I do agree with you that it's a good point that you're making that he did say, you're my friend. Apart from you, you're my only friend, basically. Mm. So the fact that, you know, making it that they're friends, but that doesn't mean that they can't be, you know, related or, you know, like what John said, F buddies.
I suppose so, yeah. But think of the poor guy. I mean, I understand why he snaps. He has no friends, and the only person who comes close to being a friend has basically friend-zoned him. Like, what a position to be in.
Well, I mean, you create your own destiny, don't you?
You do.
I know. Look,
or you just buy a copy for $109.95 at EB Games, coming out on the 15th of September, The Taken King.
Wasn't that game called Density?
It was Density.
Density.
I'm not getting paid for this either, by the way.
Thank you to...
I did see the ads for that. Is that Destiny 2 or something?
No, it's the new DLC.
Oh, what? They're advertising DLC?
It's expensive. It's like a big thing. Anyway.
That's why I don't play games. Anyway,
I was just going to say that... Damn it, now I was not trying to thought. You didn't get me thinking about Destiny. I don't even play the game. All right, okay. Move on.
Dental so, Stinny.
What I noticed, did you think that Brian Rooney was sick in this scene? He sounded really off. Like, his voice actually sounded really funny. Did you guys pick up on that?
Nah.
Okay.
He acted crazy because he was meant to act crazy.
So when Robbie leaves, the ferals sneak in because they're, you know, freezing cold outside. I really love their costumes. And especially after our discussion 2 weeks ago with Mel Heap, I thought it was, like, pretty awesome, like, the attention that they paid in to these costumes. I don't know. How would you describe the way their costumes look, Swinny?
I mean, they've already pulled the European peasants part. And this was a bit of kind of, like, I don't know... I'm trying to think like a Charles Dickens style London commoner.
Looked more British.
Yeah,
it really did.
Can
it was
I have
awesome.
More, please?
Yeah. I mean, how, like those costumes, because what you reckon they're about the size of a baby, the feral puppets? They look about that size, don't you reckon?
A big baby.
A little bigger, I reckon.
Yeah, I guess you do get baby clothes. You get baby clothes these days like that because parents are willing to spend a ridiculous amount of money to put their kids in like Air Jordan clothes and everything like that. So I guess people are doing that kind of stuff these days. So anyway, the ferals plead with Lenny to stay and, you know, Lenny is weak as piss. So he said that they can stay for one night as long as they don't make his place look like a bomb hit it. In the next section
I was just going to say, if you're about to move on, what was up with that purple neon light in this scene? Did you see
it? Oh, I didn't notice it.
First of all, it was really dark in the house, which I don't understand why in this scene. Later on, I understand why. But there was this weird purplish, pinkish neon light coming through the window. It was like they lived in the city and it was like a rotating billboard or something. It was really weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that, man.
Just in this scene, okay. not later on. Hmm. I couldn't get it. I couldn't understand.
I agree that it was really dark. It was kind of weird. It was almost like... It was definitely warm inside, but they kept on talking about how they needed to pay the electricity bill as if it hadn't been paid. But, you know, it seemed like the power was still on. So, yeah, I agree. It was a bit weird. No, I didn't notice that.
But it's just because I didn't cut the power off just yet. No, I didn't notice little details like that.
So, yeah, Lenny says they can stay as long as that he does for one night and that their place doesn't look like a bomb hit it. So, in the next section, I titled my notes, Place Looks Like a Bomb Hit It. And, I mean, like, the Ferals have destroyed the place, basically. There was some digital device that we never found out that they wrecked. They're just assholes, right? And do you remember how Lenny acted in this, Mike? Like, this whole scene? Or Swinney? How he reacted?
He kind of... Doesn't he start kind of... Looks like he's crying a bit. And then he just crazy. Snaps and he starts, like, swinging a broom at them. And he was awesome in this scene. And later on, especially...
It was really good.
This was Lenny's episode. It was brilliant.
It was. I really liked the way they filmed it and just the timing of the puppeteers. It was brilliant. The way they ducked at exactly the same time, the way the mop went, it was really good.
Yeah, exactly.
But I love the mop.
He totally spit the dummy.
Oh, absolutely. I love the fact that he picked a mop up. Like, the whole place was an absolute mess, but there wasn't anything to really mop up. It was the first thing that he did was pick up a mop. That's, like, the most useless thing to clean that place up with.
But I don't think he was trying to clean it up. I think he was just, like... trying to whack him with it, wasn't
well, no, he? Well, no, he picked it up and he said to them, which one of you guys are going to clean this now?
Yeah.
And they all look at him and go...
With him up.
Yeah. I know, and they're assholes, right? They're, like, totally destroying the planes and they're like, you're going to clean it up. And also, Joe comes in this scene and it's also... The whole scene, this is... Like, if I try to think back for the whole episode, this is the best scene of this episode.
Because, like, it's I don't awesome reckon. The way I reckon the end is way better. But anyway, we'll get to that. Okay. We'll get to that.
Well, I mean, because I like the way he smacks them all. Like, they're all, like, sort of on top of each other, like totems. And he hits them all individually, like, with the mop to get rid of them. I don't know. I thought it was really funny. So, as he leaves, like, Raddus, you know, looks like he's got his little scheming face on. And the next scene, we see Lenny trying to fix his whatever digital device that they don't describe.
Was it a portable TV transmitter or something?
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't even pick up on what
portable,
it was called.
Isn't that just an antenna? Well, what's a portable TV transmitter?
That's awesome. Oh. Yeah, I think you're right.
Ding!
you just got these zingers every now and then now. So you're definitely, on fire recently. Anyway, so, you know, Raddus has schemed something, and then we see a rock get thrown into Lenny's place, Robbie and Lenny's place. And it's got, like, a paper around it. Then Lenny starts reading it, and he's been invited to Disneyland as one of the great young scientists or something. Like, he's been randomly selected and... You know, he's going to be going to Disneyland as long as he leaves right now.
Okay, all right. Before we get into, you know, where this leads, why would you believe, first of all, this competition, but not just that, or this thing, this message, the fact that it's been delivered via rock-through-window method.
No.
I assume it was through the window. I didn't actually see where it came from.
It was. And it smashed the window. Smashed a hole in the window.
Yeah, and he's like, ooh, competition. Oh, I won a trip. Not... Someone just threw a rock or a brick through my window.
What I just wrote down. So, and with the phone call, I want to actually play the phone call because I don't think it gives justice.
Good. Oh, good.
But, but anyway, I also wrote down a note. Lenny has recently donated money to some Nigerian prince. I mean, seriously, how did he believe that? He even said, this is a bit strange.
I love...
No shit, it's strange.
I love those memes on the internet where it's got a picture of a sad, I guess a guy that looks like a Nigerian prince saying, nobody wants to take all this money I have.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when they've, like, turned the prank around to them. Yeah, they're awesome. All right, so... I mean, do you want me to play this or, Mike, do you want to, you know, try to act it out?
No, I'm definitely not acting that out.
Go ahead. Before and play we it. Play it, I'll just say that, Monkey Boy, you foresaw something like this in, I think it was even last episode. Or
well, yes, and I thought it from the start of this whole show. I thought something like this would happen where, like, imagine, okay, you know, I'll play it pretty soon, but if this... was played on TV now, oh my god. It would, Twitter would melt down, man.
Oh, it's so bad. Alright, okay.
Like, yeah. And I'm going to play a little bit earlier than I had it queued up before, because I'm pretty sure this is also the scene where he calls himself Lenny Leonard. So it's a double whammy.
Please find the following number for details of your flight and of your flight and booking arrangements. We can only offer you the trip if you're able to leave straight away. This is weird. Yes, hello. It's Lenny Leonard here.
Whoa, oh, Lenny. Mr. Renison. Many, many congratulations. That's right. We are the company who is flying. Yes, that's right. Flying you to Honorable Disney Land for your competition winning. Why do Japanese airlines fly to America?
Because it's too far to swim.
Because it's too far to swim. Pretty funny joke, eh? Hey? Now, you must go to the airport this afternoon. Yeah, that's right. Only flight available. You have ticket? Rep, Brian, look. Oh, there I came, Mr. Renard. See your turn.
Mate, the gong at the end was just like, this finishes it.
I wasn't actually going to play the whole thing, but I decided to just... When I was watching this, I was drinking some coffee. I almost spat it up. Like, I couldn't believe it.
Okay, let me just explain that Moddy was dressed up in, like, a red kimono, wearing this really stereotypical over-the-top black geisha-style wig.
Yeah.
Looked quite cool, actually.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the costume was
cool. Oh, my God.
Costumes were excellent.
God, it was bad.
I kind of wish this had happened before the episode where Mal was on, so we could ask him.
Yeah,
what was going on when this was all recorded?
Look, maybe by today's standards is bad, but then compare it to something that came out relatively recently, like Team America, that makes fun of North Korea.
I think the thing
you kind of got a good.
Can
point.
I just say? No. But I think the whole point is it's about that whole thing of punching up. It's kind of like you punch up, right? You don't punch down, right? So you don't, you know, make jokes about people with disabilities and all that kind of stuff. But with Team America and with Matt Stone and Trey Parker, because I like those guys, I think they attack everyone. So I think if, you know, you pretty consistently attack everyone, then it's kind of like, okay.
But I agree.
It's the people who constantly just, you know, kind of punch down, you know, pick on immigrants or pick on, you know, Asian people or pick on this, but then pick on fat white guys. The funny thing
is, how do you define punching down? Because there's more Asian people than there are Caucasian people on the planet.
Caucasian.
Do actually have problems with that word. That's like the second time in the series you've said Caucasian or you've stumbled on it.
I'm pretty sure I do it intentionally.
Oh, I'm really sure. But like you got to put it in the context of Australian society, right? Like it's always had a really bad, you know, we had the White Australia policy. Like it's pretty shocking some of the stuff we've done in the past. So, I understand what you're saying. I definitely do. But I think if you think about the stereotypes in this show, they really haven't taken the piss out of sort of white people all the time. But they are literally taking the piss out of people.
Look at Keith. He's, you know, stereotype as a typical Aussie bum, I guess. I think different people are taking the piss out of it. It's just I think we've been conditioned to think that particular things stand out more. Yet you can take the piss out of white people as much as you want, you wouldn't even notice it.
One thing I don't understand with this whole impression was the see you tune part. That was really odd. Because, like, see you soon. And that doesn't even make sense from an impression standpoint. But, hey, look, I'm not going to criticize because, you know, everything about this show is 99% great in terms of, you know, voice acting and everything. It's just, that didn't make sense. But,
I'm not going to say, like, you know, it's the end of the world or anything. I just think it's a reflection of what the society was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Because it was almost 20 years to the day when this was broadcast, this episode. So it's like, you know, I'm actually kind of surprised more things like this haven't happened, actually. Like, this is the first time that something blatant like this has actually happened, don't you think?
Oh, in the show, yeah. I guess...
Yeah.
I guess the fact that it's an ABC kids show means that, obviously, if we were talking about something that was on, like, Full Frontal or Fast Forward, the sketch shows that were in the 90s, you'd see a lot more of this stuff in those shows because they're aimed at adults, and obviously they're not restricted by all these stringent regulations around content that the ABC apparently had at that time, as Mal was saying.
Yeah, it's true.
But legit question.
If you go back...
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, do you guys feel, though, that people are more racist now or then? Has racism really gone... is there less of it now as a result of these kind of changes?
I think 100% of people are less racist these days. Okay. Because they're more aware of it. I mean, even in my own personal life, I know people that are less racist now than they were before. And a lot of it's just because, you know, you don't know other people of other cultures and nationalities and diversity and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
I think you don't also realize,
yeah, everyone's pretty similar in the way that they are.
There's obviously not as much outward racism, and to me what that means is that essentially that will fade out through, you know, as generations go on, because a lot of people are affected by that outward racism in the past. Hence, even if people have undertones and, you know, their inner thoughts are, you know, what you consider to be racist, it's about the way society treats it. So eventually a lot of that will go out. But hey, we'll see what happens in like 20 years. So,
Yeah, that's true. So going back to the Ferrells, like I said, almost spat out my coffee. Like, in a weird way, I found it funny just because it was like, I knew something like this would happen. So Lenny, you know, takes the bait. Hook, line, and sinker, and runs over to Joe's place to... Like, did he actually need to go to Joe's place? Oh, yeah, he needed to go to say, can you look after the house? That's right, of course. I thought he was just rubbing Joe's face in it now.
I loved Joe's
place. Oh, I'm going to go to Disneyland. Go on.
I loved Lenny's coat and scarf. I'm like, oh, man, that's an awesome coat.
Which actually comes up later, the way he's dressed.
Yeah, I actually reckon not just the Ferrells, all the costumes this episode, because they were having to wear all these winter clothing or, you know, cold clothing, were actually really good in this episode. So
it's something I'd see yours wearing. Actually. Swinney?
Who?
Huh?
Swinney. It's something I would see Swinney is wearing. It's a little known fact that recently he's been looking for a new scarf. So
it's a little known fact.
I've had one. I've got one. So and eventually the case found is closed.
One.
Done.
Yes, case is closed. But there was a sure period of this. Deep searching for just the right scarf.
There was. And I actually, there's a retailer in Australia called Harris Scarf, right? And I went there and they didn't have any men's scarves.
Yeah. What the hell?
It's like, come on.
Thanks, Harris Scarf.
God. Are you serious?
They did not have any men's scarves.
No, I'm saying, are you serious that they thought they did have scarves?
I thought they would have scarves.
They sell men's clothing, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not really men's clothing. It's more for kids and stuff.
No,
they sell men's clothing. Yeah. They do.
Yeah, not that much, though.
Tons. Around a quarter of the store, if not more.
Yeah, no.
Really?
Yeah, they sell men's clothing.
Well, I bought still stuff there before.
Not that good. Anyway, whatever.
Well, they sell everything.
I do find that amusing, though.
They sell...
It's called Harris Scarf, and they don't sell scarves.
Exactly.
They had a couple of... They had some lady scarves and some you deem as unisex, but they weren't very...
Could you pass it off? Could you
men's
pass?
Scarves.
Could
you pass? No. They're, like, all frilly and, like, fluffy and stuff.
I can see you wearing it. Anyway, so in that meantime, Joe is also frantically looking around his apartment. He agrees that he's going to look after Lenny and Robbie's apartment. And it also seems clear at this point that Joe does own the flat and the house and the shed. Because remember that Mel said that the other week, mm-hmm. that he owned it all? And we didn't know that?
But what makes you think it's clear? I didn't pick up on that. What was...
Well, the way he's describing it, it's like he's like the landlord.
But why is he freaking out so much as to... I'm not going to spoil what happens next, but the incident that happens next.
I agree. It does seem really weird throughout this whole show that he's always sensitive about Robbie and Lenny.
If it was my place, I'd be like...
He owns the place.
Whatever.
Piss off, yeah.
Should have happened.
Exactly. So, yeah, we find out that he found his phone. Now, I think that whole thing is just trying to establish that the Ferals stole his phone, and that's, you know, how they got the phone call and how they pulled off the scam. And nothing else came of it, really.
Yeah, I like that they at least explained how they got access to a phone. It wasn't necessary, but it shows that they pay attention to those little things, so...
Well, would you guys say, I mean, we're halfway through the episode, would you say that this episode's quite tight in its writing and story construct? Like, it's sort of like, you know, you always focus on what's going on right now. It's pretty clear.
It is in that sense, but at the same time, I felt it had quite a few moments where they just felt out of place, or it felt like, why is this thing even happening? So, yes and no. It was a weird one in that sense.
Yeah, the logic. I get what you're saying. Okay, so in this scene, this is where Moddy convinces Joe that they'll mine the flat for him. So what I thought was weird. So the Ferals are over there. They're wanting to trash the place. Then they get a call from Joe, and Radis is suddenly like, you know, super worried, like insanely worried, like. Oh no, we've got to be this happy family that Mixie wants us to be. Did you guys thought that was really weird?
Yeah. I mean, what could he have possibly said?
Yeah, I thought it was weird, but, I mean, they don't abandon it, and I think the way, you know, eventually they treat that is actually pretty smart. But, yeah, it was odd because they didn't really spend much time on it, so you could have, if you weren't paying attention, you could have missed that, and it wouldn't have made sense at all why the Ferals were acting really nice and not messing everything up and eating the food.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like, it's not a deus ex machina, but I don't know how to describe it, but you're right. The way you describe it is right, that... It's just like this little part of the plot that's so important. It's a linchpin of the plot, and they barely go over it, and they refer to it later, but it's kind of like if you don't remember that first scene, you won't... The time they remember it, it's pointless as well, because you don't know what he's talking about or what he's referring to.
I'll just say, you say Deus Ex Machina. Now, you've obviously brought this up before. I just had to read... like a play. I guess it's not a story, but it's set out like a play, which is Medea, which was, I think, Euripides, like some Greek, you know, playwright. And it's funny, right at the end, it actually says, and Medea appears riding this, like, dragon chariot, the Deus Ex Machina. It actually says that in the text of the book. I'm like, why don't it be subtle saying this is the Deus Ex Machina in the actual, like, I guess it's like the little note for, you know, exit stage, come on stage, and it actually says the Deus Ex Machina. So I'm like, just completely put it out there.
Just to completely put it out there, Ex Machina was an awesome film.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't even know what this is. This just come out or something?
It's been out for a little while. It's not huge. It wasn't one of those mainstreams. I think it was only available at Nova or something. I don't remember. I just quickly watched it last night. I didn't even get a chance to look at the actors in the credits, but...
You watched the movie, you don't know who the actors are. What do you mean?
Dude, I watched it at... It finished at 4 a.m. So, at the moment the credits rolled, I'm like, whoa, fell asleep.
But didn't you recognize anyone?
No.
Obviously, you didn't, right?
Well, maybe I would have seen some people in previous stuff, but none of them were like mainstream huge actors, which made it even better. It just brought more realism to the whole thing.
Oscar Isaac's in it. He's in the upcoming Star Wars.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh.
But okay. Excellent, really cool ideas. Worth a watch.
Okay. I will watch it. But anyway, so getting back to this, I want to ask you two questions. The first one is, what do you think Joe said on the phone, Swinny?
That Radis had a secret past being a baby model or something.
Oh, that's good. Good.
Like a baby rat model for like baby rat clothing or something. Completely ruin his image.
Target for kids, baby rat. How about you, Mike?
Well, if it wasn't the release of a sex tape that no one else knew about, it probably was something along the lines of roadkill, and then he was going to eat him. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, I'll just probably. Say we know later on that the ferals know about this as well.
Yes.
So I don't know if a sex tape would really fulfill that.
Yeah, true, actually. If you put it in the whole context, they would actually think it's funny.
Unless it included all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a feral's orgy. This is rule 34. anyway, do you guys remember when they are trashing the place and Raddus gets the phone call, what Raddus was playing on?
Of course.
A Game Boy, of course.
Yeah.
How cool was that, man? I was like, that's so cool.
But did you guys pick up what game it was?
No.
Well, neither did I. I'm just asking.
It wasn't like an actual Game Boy game.
Probably not.
Well, there was a cartridge in there, but you couldn't read what it was because it covers the cartridge.
So maybe the sounds would be a giveaway, but it wasn't.
Hey, I got to give them credit. I remember when they used to have Game Boys in movies and TV shows, and half the time they'd have someone playing it and there's no cartridge in the top. Yep. So they at least had a cartridge in there, so they give them points on that.
Can I just call out something about, people playing games in movies, TV shows, everything.
TV shows, because we're not familiar with people playing games, Winnie and I.
Now, so characters playing games. I'm going to ask this as a question. How do people play when they're playing on a Nintendo 64 controller? And what about it drove you crazy?
Well,
you guys remember?
Generally, the standard way you use a Nintendo 64 controller is you hold it in the middle because of the Z trigger at the back and the analog stick.
Yep.
Only a few games have you holding it on the entire left side with the D-pad. Yep. So every single
three parts that you can hold the controller. The right hand is almost always, I don't even know any game where the right hand is ever moved from the right sort of part of the controller.
I think the only games that really had it maybe were some of the first-person shooters that had some alternate schemes. That's about it.
Yeah, true. So almost every single game, right? And almost every single game, like I'd probably say 90% of the games, you'd hold it from the middle, right?
Oh, easy. Yeah.
What drove me absolutely crazy was it seemed like the most consistent thing that when you had an adult character, so like an adult playing whoever, they hold it from the left-hand side and move the analog stick, like reaching over to it.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
Well, have you ever seen your parents try to play a game?
Yeah, I've actually seen...
That's pretty much it.
I've actually seen somebody I've seen somebody I know use the 64 controller like that. So, yeah, I can definitely believe it.
Yeah, well, I know my dad, when he used to try to play Gran Turismo and stuff, he'd move his entire hand to emulate a steering wheel while holding the controller. Like, Dad, you don't need to do that. It doesn't do anything.
He was thinking ahead, you know.
He was.
On the PlayStation.
Exactly.
He was ahead of time.
Shut up, Michael. You don't understand. One day this technology will exist.
Now...
You are delusional.
We're saying about people playing stuff. Monkey Boy, you've seen House of Cards, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, the main guy.
I haven't.
Which one? The US or the UK?
The US.
I haven't seen it yet. No spoilers, please.
It's no spoilers. So he likes to, he actually.
So when he killed that person,
he's playing.
Don't make
the first
me spoil
person
stuff for you.
I finish? he's playing like a first person shooter, but he's whacking all the buttons like he's playing some, I don't know, like fighting game.
Oh yeah, that's right. There's a scene where he's playing like a 360 or something, right?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And they show him playing like a Call of Duty, but he's hitting all the buttons like he's playing a fighting game or something. It's ridiculous.
That's right. It's so true. Yeah, I think he actually is playing Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I think it was like the... Oh, geez, Ghost or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. The way he was playing it, it's like the way that people play Street Fighter.
Yeah.
It's just like... Bah, 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 bah.
Anyway, we're way off topic.
Yeah, we're way off. This all came from Game Boy. Sorry. So in the next scene, we have the Ferals who are acting like a happy family. I don't know. It was kind of boring. I thought it was pretty dodgy how Raddus was licking on the breadstick. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Mike?
Yep.
Okay. Before Mike says what he's going to say,
I wasn't going to say anything.
Have you? Oh, yeah. Right.
All right. You take your piece then, Sweeney.
Have you guys ever seen those? I don't know if there's one clip or they made a couple of them. They're not. Sorry. The safe for work porn. where they edit in all, like, things to make it look like they're doing safer work practices, like this on YouTube and everything like that, where, like, they're playing the harmonica, you know, instead of doing certain things. And to me, this looked like it was ready-made for safer work. They didn't even need to do any editing. It was just a big baguette and Radis. Radis was doing something to that baguette. It was pretty dodgy.
He's trying to lick off the gravy.
Which didn't look like gravy.
Yeah, but it didn't look like gravy, but it, like, what did it look like? It was just like black tar or something.
It looked like wet cement. Until
I thought it was like Nutella Vegemite. I thought it was like
until
Vegemite.
It got
it looked like Vegemite.
Until it got splattered onto the wall, then it looked like shit. Like, really badly.
But the way he was licking it, so dodgy. Like, surely these guys were, like, pissing themselves laughing, like, for this bit.
And because a baguette is probably the most phallic kind of bread possible.
Oh, yeah.
And this was massive.
Who knows all about it?
I just want to go to a bakery. Just like go to baguette, the phallic bread of the bread family.
Can I have, please have the most phallic baguette in your bakery, please?
Oh, God. Yeah, so
they take you to the back and they give you a dark rye baguette.
Anyway, we're getting off track. So all the ferals start fighting because they're all hungry, because they were being so polite. And then Darren grabs a baguette and, like Swinney was saying, gets all gravy on the wall. Now, like, surely you get a bit of gravy on the wall. I don't know. I've never done that, but it can't be that hard to get it off. No. He just totally, I don't know, he's trying to wipe it off and it's just like a mess. I guess this is going back to the point that Mike made, that there's some critical stuff in this episode that kind of doesn't make sense.
No, this makes sense. It's just the ferals.
Really?
Yeah, no, but the ferals are just inept at everything. That's why. It makes sense in their world. The ferals can't do something simple like this.
I guess so. Yeah. Anyway, so then he decides to use sandpaper to try to get it off. And they all call out, "No!" And then it's sort of like it's all fast forward motion of him, like, you know, basically drilling a hole in the wall. Like, surely they would have stopped him at some point of doing this.
Yeah, but then they couldn't move ahead with the storyline. They just, the episode finished.
Yeah, then the episode would have been over in 10 minutes or so. Yeah, that's true. Anyway, the other thing that I thought was weird is that when they did put the hole in and he sticks his head out, that it's actually like a corrugated iron wall on the other side.
Yeah.
And it's so thin.
I actually thought when he stuck his head out and moved side to side, it looked so funny. It made me laugh so much. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was so simple, but so well shot and well done. So.
Yeah. Yeah. There were actually a lot of scenes in this episode that were really, really well shot. So then we have Joe returning. And I actually have to say, he looks like really good. He looks like a full-on businessman in this bit.
Yeah.
He's got a proper suit on, tie and everything.
So he comes back.
Yeah.
And they've prepared lunch for him because obviously he's blackmailed Radis and whatnot.
Yeah, and that's so weird.
Oh, yeah.
They're so nice to him.
Yeah, right. Why on earth would Joe or anyone want to eat food prepared by the ferals? It does not make any sense.
And he also enjoyed it. He loved it. He was like, it was really good, apart from the lack of gravy. That's so weird. I know, I agree. Like, the whole, like, setup in that way made no sense. Like, I still don't, like, out of the whole show, they've never acted like this. There's never been anything. Like, they're going to kick him out. Joe's going to kick them all out. They're not going to have a home. And they're still acting like a douchebag to him.
See, that thing that he's got on Radis, it must be really big. Can't wait to find out.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's true. So we have Darren standing in front of the hole and then sort of uncovers it when he wants to, you know, get the food. And then, you know, obviously there's a hole in the wall and all the heat's going out of the house. Again, I wrote, like, why is Joe stressed out? He owns this house, doesn't he? So, like, what does he care? So then I don't know. What did you guys think of, like, the little scene where he's, like, you know, trying to cut the square out?
I thought it was awesome.
It made sense. Yeah.
I think it was awesome. Did you remember what what happened with Moddy in this scene.
Okay, well...
when he's starting to reach a sweat.
Yeah, basically, it was acting as if Joe was performing surgery.
Yeah.
Because he had the face mask on, and he goes, forehead, or something like that, and Moddy, Moddy wipes his forehead with a sponge, and then goes back, and he's made the incision lines around the hole, because he's wanting to knock out and make it square to put this flat cover on, which doesn't make any sense, but I'm not going to go there. Yeah. But it was, and I like he goes to hit it and hit it again and it starts going crazy and going,
Did you know- unhinged. There's so many unhinged people in this episode. It's crazy.
Did you guys notice the delay in banging and the video? Is that just my video that stuffed up or was the entire episode actually delayed? And I just, you don't notice normally.
It was, because some of the puppets, when they were moving their mouths, it was way out of sync. Mm. Yeah. But, okay, so this is all leading up to the really funny episode, funny scene. Do you remember the bit with Darren, Mike?
No.
What?
Have you watched this episode?
This is like the best part of the episode.
The part where he runs into the wall?
Yeah.
Yeah, but how funny it is. How it's like this ultra slow-mo. Yes. Where they're all like, no, Darren. And it's...
I just wanted to see
a reaction.
I can't
believe you didn't remember this.
I remember it very clearly.
He's just clearly didn't get as much enjoyment out of it as we did, Monkey Boy.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was funny.
I lost it. I loved it.
Yeah, this bit probably was the funniest little bit in the episode. I still maintain that the other scene was funnier when Lenny was cracking up. What happened was Darren was running at the wall. They're all like, don't do it. It's awesome slow-mo. And then Darren smashes this huge hole in the wall. And then I think he had a line of like, oh, there you go. Like, I've made the hole bigger for you. Because that's what he thinks he wants. Yeah, then they have this little odd reference again to the phone call. Like, you know, Radis's phone call earlier with Joe and what he'd do to them. And then he'd just say, oh, you wouldn't want to know or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. That whole scene's just weird.
Now, Joe, I was going to say, Joe puts his face mask on his head.
Yeah.
To me, it looked like, I don't know what they're called, like those Jewish hat thingies.
Shipka.
Yarmulke.
Yarmulke. So he kind of looks like a big, oversized yarmulke on his head.
Yeah, I could see that. It's true, actually, when I'm, like, looking back at it. Then we get Robbie coming home and Joe has to stall. So he forces the ferals to fix it while he's going to stall Robbie. And, okay, so what I want to ask is this actually the time when Robbie gets a new haircut?
Mm-hmm.
Or was the haircut different at the start of the episode?
It was different at the start.
No.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
It was long at the start of the episode.
Because Joe actually compliments her on the haircut.
When she comes back. But at the start of the episode, it was long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are disagreeing. We're disagreeing
on the same thing.
Anyway.
I'm not actually sure who's right or wrong.
She had long hair at the start.
Yeah, I think we're both saying exactly the same thing, right. But disagreeing with each other.
You're right, Mike. I'm right. Shut up.
Shut up, we're both right.
I just love it. I can tell that you're both disagreeing about what you're agreeing about.
You're one of those people, Monkey Boy, you just sit back and you're like, I'm just going to let this unfold.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be like, this is going to be a mess and it's going to be a car crash.
So, yes, she got a haircut while she was on holidays.
Yes.
Okay, so... What would you now rate her? What would be the adjusted rating with this haircut?
No adjustment. Still pretty hot.
Okay. So still 9.5?
Yeah. It's more than just the haircut, okay, Luke? It's about beauty
it's
on the inside.
That you know. Anyway.
Yeah, because the Robbie character's been so beautiful on the inside the last 10 episodes.
That's true, different actually. People find different things beautiful. Maybe I just like mean people. I don't know.
Like that dominatrix type of stuff.
Exactly.
Anyway, so she comes back and says that she's thinking about taking a year off. And I did like the little scene with her and Joe, where she's like, oh, I think I'm going to take the year off and travel and explore and, you know, take a year off uni. And then I like Joe. And true to his character, he said, oh, I've always said uni's useless. And then she has a bit of a dig at him. It's like, oh, I thought it was just because you couldn't get in.
he's so mean in this episode.
His face was like,
I know, bitch. It's just awesome.
Well, his whole life flashed in front of him. Oh, damn, what have I done with it?
Oh, God. So, in the meanwhile, we have Lenny Leonard returning from the airport and absolutely, completely unhinged. No,
you missed a very important plot point.
Well, I was gonna come back to it after this.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
That was my favorite part. The only part I laughed in the entire episode.
Well, no, but it happens a bit later, right? It happens a bit later when it actually...
No.
That part of the...
Darren adjusts the stumps before the Lenny-Robbie scene.
Yes.
Robbie-Joe scene. Sorry.
Okay, okay. So, yeah, Radis and Motti joke about knocking the foundations to seal the crack. And Darren actually thinks that's a good idea to do. So, he goes underneath the house and runs into one of the stumps, I guess. Is that what they're trying to say?
This just has bad idea written all over it. But at first, I'm like, oh, my God. Turned out way better than expected.
That was perfect.
That wall was
as good as
new. Yeah, you're right. You're completely right. You're completely right. He knocks the foundation stump over, and it does actually seal the crack. It, like, pushes the wall into each other, and then it suddenly looks perfect, which is, like, totally miraculous. Okay, so essentially the house is fixed now for all intents and purposes, right?
It looks fixed because we know it's not.
Well, yeah, true.
It's like a broken relationship.
Yeah, this is when Lenny comes back
with my father.
And do you remember his demeanor, Mike?
He was pretty pissed, to say the least.
Well, he's gone crazy,
completely nutter. Yeah,
he was on a mission, and the mission was destroying the ferals.
Well, poor guy. I mean, come on, you have no friends.
On the warpath for the ferals.
You have no friends. You can't sleep with the girl of your dreams, who happens to be a housemate, and then they do this to him. Jeez.
At least he had a song written in his name. Or written about
that's
him.
True.
You know? At least he had that.
That's true.
He didn't know about it, but at least he had it.
And did you see the bit where he was like shaking Joe? And they had a bell sound?
No, it was the actual skeleton next to him that was rattling. It was perfectly done.
Oh, so what I thought was like he was ringing his bell. Like, you know, shaking him.
No, because, it kept going a little bit after, and it was definitely the skeleton that made that noise, and I thought it was definitely planned, but it worked out really well. So,
oh wow, that's awesome. I didn't notice that. And then, okay, so another fact that we learned about Lenny Leonard, apart from the fact that we've confirmed his name now, is did he say he's from the country? Because he said he had to call his parents.
They said that
he said it in this bit. He goes, my parents had to come from blank. It's not very clear. Like, I can play it again, but
no,
I can't make out
attention.
What they say.
I didn't pay attention.
I'm pretty sure it sounded like he was saying, like, from the country. Like, his parents had to come from the country, and, you know... Anyway, they're annoyed with him.
I was just going to say, can we get Mike to explain Lenny's experience with the police?
No.
Did you watch this episode?
I did. I didn't write the notes to quote what he's done with the experience. Other than the fact that he was strip searched.
To write anything about it.
No, okay. I wrote the fact that he was strip searched.
Yeah.
Which, I guess it was a bad experience. I don't know. I'd be happy to be strip searched. I mean, finally some action.
First of all, I said experience. I didn't say good or bad experience.
Well, the experience he had... was that he was
interrogated and strip searched.
Yes.
This is a kids' TV show. You don't say someone was strip searched on a kids' TV show. I'm sorry.
Well, it's just clearly
not
you
the
do.
Kind of tone. It
clearly
just
you
doesn't.
Do.
But apart from the fact that it was crazy that he was at an airport and there was no actual ticket, what was the other contributing factor as to why he was strip searched, Mike?
It was his look. The way he... What was his spot quiz to see if I was paying attention? It was his clothing, and the way he looked.
Yes, it was his clothing. Well, I did mention it earlier in this actual recording. I feel like all the information is going out of your brain. It's like a filter. Comes in. Is it Destiny related? No. Reject.
But Mike, did you happen to see... The Bart Simpson cameo.
I did see that.
Yes, there we are. Yep. I knew they did.
With the badly drawn beard and hair on it.
Yes. Okay. All right.
But see, that's also going back to like episode 2, I think, or 3.
Yeah,
from the first season.
Yes.
Oh, was that actually?
Which I pointed out as well. I pointed that one out.
Ah. Yeah, that was the one, Swinny. You know, when we mentioned it.
It was
episode five.
Okay.
It's even in our show notes on episode 5, actually, of the first season, Wags to Riches, that we saw that. Mm. Oh, okay. Mike and I saw it, and you didn't see it, so.
I wasn't paying attention to you or the show back then, so.
We were different people. Yeah, and so Lenny just goes absolutely ballistic in this whole scene. Just absolutely loses the plot. I can't even remember how this worked, but he smashed into the wall and it knocks the whole place down.
I'll
right?
just say, he goes, they cut off my allowance. Then he goes,
yeah.
Death to the ferals. And then he runs somehow, I don't know if he runs at Joe or someone and then falls into the crack where the crack was.
Can I?
You know when people actually act like madmen? Like, they do stuff and you're like, wow, this person's not even acting rational. Like, you know, people can be angry and it's not like they're insane. They're just like angry and they want to hurt people. Yeah. But you know, when people just do stuff, you're like, oh my God, this person's like actually crazy. It doesn't make sense what they're doing.
Yeah,
that's what he was doing.
Crazy.
He was like running into a wall or something.
And the ferals were hiding and he kicks a pillow and it falls right on their head and it was so well shot. Like, it was perfect. Really well
I
shot.
Noticed that as well. That was a complete fluke. It hit, like, Moddy in the back of the head and kept going. It was awesome. Okay, so, yeah, the household... Okay, this is what I want to say. The house collapses, and then, like, instead of everyone going, oh, my God, you know, you're a total idiot, Lenny, the attention goes straight away to Joe, and Robbie and Lenny discover that Joe had to let the ferals in. Did you guys think it was weird the way it was structured?
No, because they were trying to figure out why something like that could have possibly have happened. So you got to go to the source of the mystery, which is the ferals.
Really, like, that is extremely quick, though.
I must admit, go on. Sorry. I was just going to say, considering last episode, they didn't know that the guy was the robber until... Oh, wait. It's a phone call from Joe's mum, and they're so dense they didn't get that. Their reaction to this should have been, it was Lenny's fault.
Of course, that's what I'm thinking, man. It's like... They got to the bottom of it, like, within 30 seconds. I'm like, it's impossible. There's no way that I would have thought that. If Mike ran into a wall and my house collapsed, I'd be like, dude, you're paying for that shit. Like, that's crazy, man. That's crazy.
I actually reckon the episode would have been better if it did go that way, because it just would have been... Man, Lenny just got screwed over this entire episode.
Yeah.
And then it just ends. It ends.
Poor guy.
Okay, so then the ferals are trying to escape and they get caught and Lenny goes absolutely nuts and then just kind of like duck out. It's like they don't even try to stop them.
Well,
they're just like, oh, we've got to go, sorry.
Before that, later. Raddus, they all huddle and Raddus tells them what Joe was going to do if they didn't, you know, he's just like, oh, Joe's, Joe's going to do something. So they huddle around and they whisper and then at that point you're like, we're never going to find out.
Yeah. No, it was very weird, very weird. So then they leave and the power goes out of the place. So they actually didn't pay the power bill as they were meant to. And then the ferals... So did you guys watch it to the end of the credits?
Yeah.
So you watched it to the end of the credits, right, Mike?
Yes.
Okay,
so,
no,
so
don't
describe,
say it. Don't
describe
say
what
it.
Happens,
yes.
Mike.
Yes.
These names go up the screen... No, wait, down
and
the screen,
And what happens after
I think?
That? What? Names go down the screen? Anyway, wow.
And then...
You don't know how a general title scene
it's
works.
It's reversed.
It's like every credit thing in the world goes up, and you didn't even get that part right. So, what happens at the end of the episode, Mike? After the credits?
There's, like, a couple of lions having sex, I think.
What?
You could have actually come up with something that was a bit more believable, and we would have been like, oh, okay, yeah, now that happened, and then just moved on.
Yeah, you could have just said the ferals were in the shed.
Oh, the ferals were in the shed. That's like, what I meant.
Pretty much always what happens. So, yeah, the gang, so Robbie, Lenny, and Joe try to storm into the feral shed.
Using a ram, like a big ram thing.
Yeah, exactly. I don't remember the ferals having a locked shed. Can they lock the shed?
No.
I don't think it's too far out of the realm of possibilities to imagine they could find
where anything's possible.
So anyway, what I don't understand about this ending. So, like, obviously only Swinny and I watched it. at the start of the episode, the ferals are stuck outside and they're cold, right? At the end of the episode, they're inside the shed and they're really warm. They've got like a heater in there or something.
What's not to understand about that? They're inside, it's warm. They're outside, it's cold.
They always had the shed. Why were they outside at the start of the episode? Why weren't they just in their shed in the warmth?
The whole episode just did not.
Wait, I gotta ask. Makes sense to me. Do you reckon they've got electricity in the shed?
Yeah.
Because there's scenes where they have TV on, I thought.
Maybe from the ruins of the apartment, they took the heater. Now, I know we didn't see that.
How have they got power? Isn't it all one property?
No, because this is where, like, apparently it is, but I reckon it's not. I still reckon it's two separate properties.
Wait.
No, because I'm pretty sure they established it's one big property. It's like there's a house, there's a flat on it, and then there's a shed.
Where was that established, though? That wasn't, I don't know. I don't think that was really ever officially established.
No, wasn't the sheds on,
I think,
if anything, let's say that we don't know 100% that it's all the same, at minimum, we know that the shed is Joe's.
Mm.
So potentially,
yeah, that's definitely on one block.
Could be Joe's house's electricity that the shed's running. Why are we going into detail about this?
Hey, what I want to know is, what did Joe say to Radis?
We'll never know. This is going to be like the joke of the first episode. We'll never know.
Damn it, Mel. Damn it. Tell us.
And what we'll know as well is he'll never say this again, and the ferals will act against him in every episode remaining.
Mm.
I wonder I wonder if it's like the golden briefcase or whatever it is in Pulp Fiction.
Hey, it was about the same time, actually. Wasn't that 1994?
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
So many parallels between that show and this. I mean, that
sound like
film
you're doubting me, Swinny. Anyway, so that wrapped up the episode. I guess, like, just going on to ratings, and then we'll go on to some special stuff that Swinny prepared. I thought the episode was pretty good. I just didn't find it super funny, but I found a few things funny. So I gave it 5 out of 10. How about you, Mike? What did you
5 out of 10 as well. Yeah, pretty much the same.
That's bad for you. Whoa. That's the lowest score you've ever given.
I didn't feel it. I did not feel it this episode.
You didn't watch it.
I watched it all the way up to the credits. I just didn't watch the post-credits because then I got distracted by something on the internet. But yeah, 5 out of 10.
You got distracted by a big dark rye baguette.
Oh, yes.
A website that's full of, like, little image thumbnails of videos that you're going to watch. How about you, Swinny?
I will give this episode a 7.
Whoa. Okay.
Now, I think that I would have actually rated it higher if I didn't think the start of the episode was a bit weak. And then, to me, it ramped up. And to me, it was Lenny and... he went insane. I loved it. He was so good episode. It showed me, told me that his character is so relatively by the numbers and calm all the time that he was given the chance to go, okay, Lenny's going to lose it. You feel free to go nuts. And you can see that he was just waiting for an opportunity to just like go,
Adrian. He was awesome in this. Yeah, it was a weird episode. I feel like if it had a few more laughs, I would have actually propelled it, like, way higher than 7 even. So I gave it 5, but I don't know, it just didn't have one, like, it was missing a couple of laughs, and it sort of just, I don't know, it was like, oh, it was a good episode, it wasn't a bad episode. 6, 5, 5, I don't know. Yeah. That's where I landed, so.
Same.
Yeah, I felt like I didn't even know where you guys would land on this episode. Like, I could have imagined you, Swinney, giving it a 3.
I thought you guys were going to give it really low, and I was going to be like, man, I'm going to look like a hipster just going against your opinions for the sake of it, you know?
Yeah, no, it was a weird one. Like, I don't know. I think if I watched it again later, then it would really, you know, this one, these type of episodes either grow on you or you just go, oh, it's just total crap when you watch it again.
I will say, I think my rating was, how can I say, it was probably artificially inflated because the last couple of episodes I've had, although I didn't think the dental one was too bad, but ever since the episode 15 of the first season, I don't think we've had a great episode since then, so...
Yeah, I was thinking about that as well. Like, the first three episodes that we've watched, they've all been solid. Like, there's certainly been no stinkers.
Mm.
You know, like, some of the real stinkers that we had last season. Like, yeah, episode 15, which was horrible, and the ghost episode and all that kind of stuff. They're certainly not like that, but they're just sort of... I don't know. Unfortunately, I keep on thinking about... the Mary Poppins scene.
Can't beat that.
Way back in like episode 8 or whatever that was. It's really bad, but I feel like I am comparing it to the real highlights of the show. So, I don't know. I probably need to do a normalization at the end of the whole season to figure out where I really think the rating should land.
You're going to have a Ferrell's marathon.
Oh, God. God. how long would that take? It's about half an hour each episode.
Yeah,
so
7.5 hours.
15 hours, right?
Yeah, 15.
For the whole season.
Yeah,
For the two seasons.
When you take off it's 25 minutes per episode, including credits. So you probably knock it down to like 14 a bit. So
14 minutes?
No, 14 hours and a bit.
You can do 3 episodes per hour. Yeah. I reckon.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right. They're 25 minutes per episode, Mike. So
yeah. you're going to have to cut off the credits. You can kind of skip some shit.
So Winnie's right. You save 5 minutes per episode. So 5 times 30 is, you know, that number, and that's how much we save. I think it's 2 hours. Okay, anyway, so I've got an audio clip to play. Do you want to set the scene for this, Winnie?
I'll just say that I'd originally wanted to play this in an episode Keith was in, for obvious reasons, but unfortunately I happened to choose an episode that Keith was not in at all, so I'm like, oh, yeah, that's my true. God.
Hey, negative marks for that. He was mentioned, wasn't he?
Was he? In the credits? It's in Keith.
No. I'm pretty sure Keith was mentioned in this episode by Moddy.
Ah, okay. Maybe
saying about, like, he's in a tree or something. Maybe so I thought he was coming, and he never did.
Maybe in the racist impression part, but, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was mentioned by Moddy when Moddy was trying to convince Joe to let them stay in the flat.
So, see, Keith is a legend. He braved the cold. So
yeah, exactly. That's what I was wondering. Like, you know, how's he going to survive the cold?
I just had this horrible vision of Keith being like Luke Skywalker in Empire Strikes Back, where to survive the cold, he kills Kylie and cuts open Kylie and then hides inside her.
Oh, well, Jesus Christ. You know, that's like two things I've heard or seen today where something goes inside of something else. And I'm not talking about Mike style. I'm talking... I watched another Peter Jackson film, Bad Taste.
Again? You watched it again?
Yeah. And in the final scene, the character climbs inside of the other character and then comes out of the bottom of the other character.
What the hell?
Well,
and then he's like, I'm born again.
We all know...
so messed up.
We all know Leprechaun 4 in space, where the leprechaun comes out the guy's penis. Yes. So. Yes.
I love Leprechaun 4. That's my favourite out of all of them. God, I love that film. I've seen it like 10 times. Anyway. Okay, so... did you want any more setups, Winnie? Because I've totally ruined your original setup.
No, there's no setup. Just play the roller clip.
Okay, I'm about to play it.
Bit of a slow day, fellas.
Hi, Keith.
Nah, Keith. We like sitting around watching our fur grow.
You want to hear about the time I crossed the Blue Mountains and wound up in Hawaii?
We're desperate, Keith, but we're not crazy.
I'd like to hear, Keithy.
Well, I started out just before sunrise on Saturday.
it up, come along. Take a hit from the calm. Put the bark down just for a second. Don't get me wrong, Kyle's not a new method. Climb up, climb down. Oh, I just got a pole from the ground. I like a red gum or a fat myrtle. Billabong shrubs are my kind of herbal. Just ripper, crack me tinny, I'm in heaven. Stop smearing shit on the tree, stop daring. Goes down smooth when I get a clean bit of the bushy, crunchy, evergreen shit. Sing my song, chew all night long. As I take hits from the gum. Hits from the gum. Let's chew that pile, get that oil, and then scrape them leaves right out of that soil. Pick 'em, then lick 'em, mate. Oh, come on, Kyle's, it's ace! In good supply, when I get hungry, strip those leaves and get me some munchies. So bloody neat. When I grab a fresh pile, I munch the green. But don't get me riled up, steal my eucalyptus. I get in it pure, mate, none of your business. Gonna take my sash and hide it, just like Bill. Mwah, blink and you'll miss it. Take a load off, grab a branch and bring it on. As I take hits from the gum. Hits from the gum.
These things are so good. Well done.
That's awesome, man.
That was really good.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Is that Son of a Preacher Man?
Yes.
The sample?
Well, it hits from the bong, which is obviously what it's based on. He uses Son of a Preacher Man, yeah.
Okay.
So
no, I've never heard Hits from the Bong.
By Cypress Hill? Really? Never.
Oh, maybe I have, actually.
Yeah,
I just don't really remember it.
That's the whole point of the song.
No, I got that. Like, even if you said hits from the gum, I understand that would be hits from the bong.
I considered setting the artist name to be Cypress Bill, as in Blinky Bill, but...
That's unreal, man. That was awesome. I feel like I'll have to send that directly to Mel. I'm sure you'll probably hear it anyway. Okay, I think that wraps us up for this week. Next week is episode 4, Home Truth. But for now, bye.
Goodbye.
Adios.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.